Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another weekly newscast here on PWPonderings.com. We cover all the news in independent pro wrestling. My name is Chris GST, and of course, I am joined by Dez Delgadillo. Dez, how are you doing, sir?
Yeah, we're getting to that point now, Chris, where all the year end, the lull is sort of coming to an end, and the indie wrestling stuff is really kicking up again. And this is the time when we get real busy because all the stuff is happening. The big promotions are kicking their years off, and so there's a lot of news that's coming out and that we're going to talk about. And it's full swing right now, and obviously some shows getting announced for February and some matches getting set up for next shows that we're going to get into here on the show.
Yeah, I know. I'm still in 2013 mode. I'm still putting that on my papers, on some emails, and I don't even know why, but I'm getting there. I'm getting better at texting in 2014. So why don't we dive right into this? A big weekend, lots of results. Of course, you can check it all out, pwponderings.com. Click on the indie news on the top menu and find out all the results. We have lots of them, and some a little bit more, shall we say, somber than others, but we'll get to that. Dez, first up, our friends out in North Carolina, PWX, the Pro Wrestling Experience. They had three major shows this weekend. You should check them all out at highspots.tv, buy the DVDs, or I believe they are up for VOD or MP4 download as well. But Dez, tell us some of the major results. I mean, this was a show we talked about last week. They had lots of Ring of Honor talents, and probably, I would say, use them slightly better. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm looking at the cards right now, and they look like they were very good shows. He had the January 17th show. He had Davey Richards forcing Kyle Matthews to submit to the Texas Cloverleaf, and what was dubbed an excellent match here by our faithful PWX correspondent. And then a number one contenders match for the PWX title, you had Rich Swann beating Kyle O'Reilly with a pin reversal out of a triangle choke. And then you had Los Bendejos, Zane Riley, and Lance Lude beating the PWX Tag Champs, Worst Case Scenario, and a TV champion, Mr. Elite, Drew Myers, and Craig Huffman, when Zane pinned Elite with a Belushi driver.
I know, I thought that's fantastic.
That's the best name in all of wrestling now. Then you had one of my favorites, the Southern Savior, John Skyler, and Michael Elgin, that's an awesome tag team, beating the Mad Scout Jake Manning and Kevin Steen when Skyler pinned Manning after Elgin hit both men with a dual follow-away slam. Damn, that sounds like so much fun. Prior to the match, Elgin ran Jake into Steen, who responded by package pile-driving his partner, the Mad Scout. That's not very nice at all. They had Country Jacked, the team of Adam Page and Corey Hollis, beating 7-0-4 of Caleb Conley and Cedric Alexander when Page pinned the PWX champ after a miscommunication between 7-0-4. The two partners had words after, and the champion left his partner alone in the ring to end the show. So some dissension being teased there between 7-0-4. Not an Andrew Dice Clay reference, I'm sure. Then we went to the January 18th show, and we had Corey Hollis beating Davey Richards with a roll-up out of an ankle lock. Cedric Alexander beat Michael Elgin with a leg roll-up after a buckle bomb. Caleb Conley beat Rich Swann with the O-face to obtain the PWX title, and that was your January 18th show. A big weekend, it looks like, for Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, on the next show, on the 19th, yeah, he defeated, you know, AJ. Well, actually, AJ Styles defeated him, but he had a good
showing. Yeah, but he looked really good.
Yeah, and it's kind of nice. And for anyone keeping track, the same Corey Hollis, who right now is in the Ring of Honor Top Prospect Tournament. So,
That's right. You
know, they have a lot of young guys there. Caleb Conley also, I mean, I'm sure most people are familiar with him from DGUSA or CZW. But, you know, don't shy away from PWX. They have some really good stuff going on. And, of course, our friends at CWF Mid-Atlantic, they share a lot of their talent. And this is something we've talked about many times, as just the North Carolina area, just tons of young guys. And I think they're going to have a really big impact on professional wrestling going forward. Especially, you know, like we've said, guys are getting signed either to TNA or WWE, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But, You got to find a place right now for that talent. And right now, it seems the Midwest or North Carolina, that whole area, that's the place to find them.
Yeah, the booking right now is really helping talent be made. Especially if you look here at the January 19th show, you had Michael Elgin beating Kyle O'Reilly with the Elgin Bomb, so Elgin gets his win back. And same with David Richards beating Rich Swann with the inside cradle after blocking a frog splash with his knee. And then you had, for the PWX title, Caleb Conley retaining and beating Doc Gallows. I guess that's the name he's going to stick with now. Roll up out of a choke slam. And four-way tag match, you had Country Jacked. That's Corey Hollis and Adam Page beating Lance Lude and Zane Riley, Chase Brown and Kyle Matthews and Mr. Elite Drew Myers and Sean Tempers when Hollis pins Lude after Page hit a modified Kryptonite Crunch. And I don't know which name I like better, Country Jacked or Alabama Attitude. I think Corey Hollis is in both those teams.
And then, I mean, Mike Posey and Corey Hollis's Alabama Attitude, they're
right.
Fun. They're just kind of two, high spot type guys. But really, I think Country Jack has some potential, especially with Doc Gallows, just winning the IWGP tag titles in Japan.
Sure.
He's on a roll. So you couldn't do wrong there.
Country Jack. They, by the way, proceeded to lay out a challenge to Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong, the Dojo Bros, for Rise of a Champion in February.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, the Dojo Bros, I mean, come on. They're so damn entertaining. Just all kind
oh,
of...
always, man. Always.
I think they're always tons of fun in PWG and in PWX, obviously.
Yeah, they got their start in PWX, right? And then they brought it over to PWG, so they're coming back to their old stomping grounds.
Very much so. I mean, it's just so... It's just an act that I would love to see in Ring of Honor. I mean, I know Adam Cole's doing his thing with Matt Hardy, but if you had the Dojo Bros there, I think that would have been a little bit better than what Roderick Strong may be doing now. I mean, I'm not being fair. I haven't seen a lot of what the Decade's doing, so we'll see. We'll see you going forward.
Well, to be fair, they haven't done a lot.
That is also true. So, Dez, some sad news.
Some very sad news, Chris.
Yeah.
Wrestling is Respect is dead. After Biff Busick couldn't show up due to injury, the main event was set as a 30-minute Iron Man match between Drew Gulak and Green Ant. Now, Green Ant got the win 4-3, but then Sydney Bacabella came out with his Wrecking Crew and shut the promotion down. So Dr. Cube and Gekido were there, but they were not part of the attack as originally thought. They were just a decoy. So how many wrestling promotions is that have died in the past couple of months? And maybe the better question is, how many are left?
I think Wrestling Is Fun is the only one left. They had the Wild Bunch show this past weekend as well, right before the Wrestling Is Respect show. And the same thing happened. Dr. Cube and Gekido came out, but I think it was the Estonian Thunder Frog and two others like ran them off, and they said, fine, we'll leave this be. We'll leave you alone, and they left. So I think that was kind of the setup for Wrestling is Respect. And then, I mean, I don't know. We're heading off into National Pro Wrestling Day, Dez. I think Wrestling Is Fun might be the only one.
Yeah, I think the Wrestling Is Universe.
Sure.
Wrestling Is needs a hero.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, and then, of course, Kaiju Big Battelle is still around. I mean, that's never really been a major part of the story, but they are still there.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever been included in any of the silliness.
But Dr. Cube does. He's one of your favorites, right?
He is my favorite. He should be the next Kaiju Grand Champion if, American Beetle just stays dead.
Yeah, there was a photo that Sydney Bacabella posted with him and Dr. Cube shaking hands, and it's like, could you think of a more evil duo? I couldn't.
Oh, that's like deliciously evil. But you know what's not deliciously evil, and what is in fact very prestigious, Chris, is Wrestling Cares.
Absolutely. In your neck of the woods, actually, Wrestling Cares Association, they had a show on the 18th, the Race for the Ring Finals. Of course, you can check out all the results of that show on our site. But in the final round, in the Race for the Ring for professional wrestling's only championship ring, Dez, there was a 20-minute time limit, no draws, no double eliminations, only one winner. So this is clearly not the Royal Rumble. But Johnny Gargano defeated Adam Cole to win and became the first Race the Ring tournament champion. The match went into sudden death after going 4-4 and double overtime. That's crazy. But I'm sure double the fans there had a lot of fun. Maybe.
I think they have double overtime in, like, hockey. Is that the right sport?
It's a thing. Yeah, it is. It's a sport.
They have it in wrestling, I think, and in collegiate wrestling. I believe they can go to a double overtime. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong about that.
They could when I was doing it in high school, so I'm assuming so. I mean, I'm looking forward to checking this out on DVD. The Wrestling Cares stuff has always been really good technical wrestling, so I'm a fan. There was also a presentation of a placard to Adam Pearce. There's a photo of it in our report, so check that out. Really good stuff coming out of there. And, of course, always serving a good cause. All the proceeds go to different charities in the surrounding area. So anyone who's down in that area, I encourage you to go check them out. Seems like a lot of fun. I don't want to say it's the exact opposite of PWG, because there's good wrestling in both, but in terms of seriousness and the scope, yeah. I think it's obviously not. So don't go there expecting like PWG wild antics.
Yeah, certainly in its presentation, it's different, and that's why I think, you know, they are like polar opposites in that way, because PWG is presented as this super crazy, you're going to come and like your face might explode from the craziness type thing. Wrestling Cares. I mean, look who's behind it. Les Thatcher is behind it. And if you know anything about Les or the way he operates, he is super technical. If you listen to like the Lance Storm shows or read his blogs, he and Les Thatcher have pretty much the exact same mindset on things. So that's the way it happens there. So if you like that kind of stuff, yeah, definitely check it out on DVD, because I will be. I love that slowed down psychological technical side that we really don't get to see much of on the indie scene or anywhere for that matter.
Well, let's get to the news and updates, Dez. Someplace where you might find some serious technical wrestling.
Perhaps. Dragon Gate USA. Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of flips and stuff. Dragon Gate USA on February 23rd at the Lyceum in Brooklyn, the double main event so far has opened the Freedom Gate champion, Johnny Gargano, defending his championship. Yes. Against Roderick Strong, and AR Fox defends his Evolve Championship against Chris Hero.
Yeah, they also announced today Fire Ant versus Jigsaw, and they will also have Japanese wrestlers from Dragon Gate confirmed in the next few days.
Oh, good for them. That's kind of their job.
Dez, Japanese wrestlers in Dragon Gate.
Who would have thunk it? I am shocked. And by the way, what an amazing, amazing theme for this show, this February 23rd show, of wrestlers who have been in the company for weeks are getting shots at the main titles after doing nothing. Roderick Strong wasn't even on the show, was he?
He had a showdown. He didn't wrestle, obviously, because of what happened between him and AJ Styles at the Ring of Honor tapings. But he was there, and then, of course, because he ran through that three-man gauntlet. I think the only one he didn't beat was Ricochet. I'm pretty sure he defeated Tony Nese. And someone else. I can't remember who. But it still kind of stands, though, that out of the entire Evolve roster, I know Chris Hero is who he is. And, of course, you've got to strike while iron's hot. But there was no one else who was really waiting in the, you know, to get an Evolve title shot. I don't know.
It's a testament to how thin the roster must be for Chris Hero to win two times in a weekend and qualify to get a shot at the Open the Freedom Gate title.
This is one of those things where, like, back in the day when they were actually keeping track and having a point system, which I granted, not done the best. And I know this is going to sound, again, like we're criticizing Gate, but it's like it at least had it made sense. And if that's what they were presenting, a more sports-style wrestling promotion, then at least you knew, okay, this guy had two wins, but this guy has three. That means the guy with three wins is going to get the title shot. I don't know. I'm still looking forward to it. I haven't checked out the last three Evolve shows, but still, it just kind of seems, you know, like there wasn't anyone else for AR Fox to defend the title against.
Well, because he insists on defending it against everybody he wrestles. It's like, come on, man. Have a non-title match every once in a while. It's not going to kill you.
He's a fighting champion, Dez. He's a fighting champion.
Well, let's talk about stuff up in a little bit of a bigger Oh, I guess we can debate this, but ProWrestling.net reports that the American Wolves contracts with TNA are one-year-long contracts, and in fact, they may be working. They may be limited to working with Wrestle One due to the relationship they have with Impact Wrestling. So, you know, that's it came out a couple days ago too. Obviously, the TNA deal limits them from working with any U.S. promotions that run DVDs. That put out DVDs, and Davey Richards canceled his AIW appearance because of that in February. And
I still don't understand, because per some of the verbiage, it said that they can't work with people who sell DVDs in retail locations, but that's so broad of a, you know, of a term. And, you know, I mean, obviously, I am studying to go to law school, and it just seems... AIW is not, I mean, in the broad sense, yes, they have a retail location, their website, but then he could work for nobody, because everyone technically is selling online. It makes no sense, because it's AIW is a direct competitor to TNA. I mean, like you were, I guess you were hinting at, we could debate TNA being a smaller promotion.
Yeah,
but come on, they're backed by Viacom. They have a big deal in the UK with Challenge TV. If they are so afraid of a company like AIW, I don't know what that says. No offense to AIW either. I'm just saying, come on, let's be reasonable here.
It's absolutely
not like AIW and, is not on Fox, you know.
Yeah, and you know, it's a weird deal, because I think there's a little bit of a clause in the contract with some sort of wording that says that TNA can actually choose who they do and don't work with. So I guess if there is a company that does DVDs, but TNA approves of them, then sure, you can work that company.
And I think you've done a podcast with Zima Ion, correct, or no?
I haven't done one with Zima Ion, no. I've done one with...
Yeah, I was thinking more, because, I mean, think of that relationship with AIW. He was able to have a match there, but it couldn't be sold, couldn't be out, you know, in any type of... I guess actual DVD. They had to put it out on YouTube, and it's like, so you let him work AIW, and granted, he has a longer history with them, so maybe that was kind of written in, kind of like Joey Ryan and Christopher Daniels with PWG for a little bit there. But
and you have Ethan Carter working AIW, who you know, under a different name, and maybe that might be a little bit of what helped him work there, but without any exclusion, mind you, from the DVD.
So TNA should have changed his name to Rich David or something like that. Then that way it would have worked out.
Richard Davies. It wouldn't have mattered. It still sounds like a normal person's name.
It really does. But yeah, that's the information there. So anyone wondering, that's the news on the Wolves. They're 1 year long contract, and we'll see what happens after that. I don't know, Dez. This whole thing with AJ Styles, I mean, I know some people find it very interesting. I'm just turned off by it, so it's not working for me. And then the whole, I believed he was still on their TV 2 weeks after they stopped negotiating. I mean, if you believe that they stopped negotiating. And right. Then, you know, this past week you and I were talking about it off the air. I watched Impact to see the Wolves debut, and, I guess I got what I wanted.
Holy Christ, you watch Impact... for 10 seconds of the American Wolves in outfits that you did not approve of.
No, I mean, it was kind of silly. You know, they both had collared T-shirts and one, you know, with the tie. I mean, I know this is going to sound really horrible, but it's like they weren't dressed in such a manner that was like, oh, they're going for the professional look. It was more like they're just... there, and they happened to look like they were going to Sunday school or being teachers or something like that. And that, I'm not trying to offend teachers or anything, but I'm just saying, you know, you're pro wrestlers, you should be thought of as top talent. And you come in and Dixie goes, oh, you're here for trial matches. And okay, I realize that some places have reported that was kind of a dig at the whole NXT thing. But, you know, for anyone that watches TNA, yeah, they probably knew that. But at the same time, you have an audience saying, wait, so we're supposed to be impressed with that these are the Wolves that you've been talking about and you teased on Twitter, you know, with the EE and the DR, but then you're just saying they're just worthy of tryouts? I mean, they're no better than anyone that was on the gut check. And And then on top of that, they got signed by this mystery investor, Dez.
Oh boy.
Dixie's the best president of a company ever. She had no idea who this mystery investor is. And then on top of that, when she they because they handed her the contracts, the wolves literally handed her these sheets of paper that we're supposed to believe were the contract. She looks at it and goes, "It's still a mystery." It's like, I don't think the person signed mystery investor as his name on the contract. I'm pretty sure he put his real name, him or her. I know that some people brought up, oh no, this is just like when Ric Flair bought, shares in WWE and he was the mystery investor. No, because see, that made sense. Steph and Shane sold their stock to an investor, and they don't have to disclose to Vince who that is. But to this point, all we know is that Dixie Carter, and I guess Mick Foley in the past, was an investor in TNA,
Oh,
and
that's
so she
right.
would have to know. She would. It just on its face, it's just so dumb. And I guess, I guess it's not really a spoiler, guys. Impact is on tomorrow. By the time you're listening to this, it's probably on today, on Thursday. Let's just say what I was expecting this week, past week, I'm not getting again. So really, Impact, good job. I'm so intrigued to watch your product now.
Do you really have to be cautious about spoiling Impact? Like, they spoil. Impact spoils Impact.
It's just in case. I mean, I'm trying to be respectful, guys. There are some people out there, that have asked us, "Hey, why don't you cover Impact?" This is why.
All
So there you
right.
go. But hey, I mean, yeah, I mean, if obviously the spoilers are out there, if you haven't read them
Yeah.
already.
Don't ask me to cover Impact because I will do this every week.
Oh, silence. Good.
Yeah, and just bury it.
Yeah. The wrestling's not bad. The wrestlers are all talented. It really is the creative side. I know Dave Lagana's there, and he's a former Ring of Honor guy, and he's a I believe he was on SmackDown. And I don't know. I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm just saying this didn't work for me. If you thought differently, hey, let me know.
You know
Email
what
us or
does?
tweet us. But
You know what does work for me, Chris?
what?
AIW.
Yes. And you know what else works for you, Dez? Being thankful
Segways?
that it's Friday.
Yeah.
Exactly. February 7th.
TGIF.
Exactly. Let's talk about something positive here. Hey, W, February 7th. We'll be very thankful. It's Friday, TGIF. Of course, as Des mentioned, Davey Richards had to back out of it. But not necessarily replacing him, but on the poster, they now have Drake Younger, which is great. He will be facing the AIW Absolute Champion, Michael Elgin. I don't know, Des. I don't think there's like a tell Elgin doesn't have, but it should be a lot of fun. I was actually wondering about this. If Michael Elgin and Drake Younger was to happen in PWG, that would be nuts. But in AIW, I think there's even, I don't want to say a little bit more lax, but when it comes to their title matches,
They do
they
some
let
crazy
things
things.
go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also it's Drake Younger man, so I'm sure craziness will occur
I
with
think
these
so.
two.
And then, of course, the AIW Intense title will also be defended. Lewis Linden puts it up against the King of Cleveland, Johnny Gargano. I think that could steal the show. I don't think that's a big thing to statement to say. I think that could steal the show.
And a big shot for Lewis Linden.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I will fully admit, as a tag team, I kind of thought that that's what he was, should do. But now that I see him getting a little bit of a singles run, I'm like, okay, I was missing something here.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. And hey, whatever. That's my fault. So let's look forward to that. And of course, AIW Women's Champion Allison Kay, he will give Veda Scott one more chance, Des. She's got one more match.
She's gonna do
Just
it this
one.
time. I know she is. She's got no distractions. She's gotten rid of Gregory Iron. She doesn't have that bird on her back anymore. Now, all she has is Allison Kay in front of her, and it's gonna be Veda time on February 7th. I fully believe that. I'm an objective reporter, of course, but I think Veda Scott is going to win no matter what.
I will hold you to that. We'll see come February 8th. Tim Donce is going to take on Danny Havoc in a hardcore match, and I don't know, Dez. Donce not necessarily known for hardcore matches, and Danny Havoc, that's going to be a test. I know I saw some people tweeting out they want to see Tim Donce in Best of the Best in CZW. This match could be that. If DJ Hyde sees it, it's a good showing. You never know. You
It's
see
like a
him in
tryout.
W. Yeah. Could see it. And of course, Kyle O'Reilly's going off against Bobby Beverly. They're just going to kick the crap out of each other. Not going to lie there.
It was
And
a good
then.
shot for Bobby Beverly because he just broke it off with Nixon. He was able. He was pretty much the guy who helped AIW knock off Nixon once and for all. So now he's getting a shot to prove himself as a babyface, and what better way to do that than against somebody established like one half of Red Dragon.
And then AIW is welcoming back Kevin Steen. So he's getting revenge on the man known as All Ego, but, I mean, what is he getting revenge for? I mean, okay, and I am actually kind of seriously asking this, Des. So he was champion, then he lost the title. Was there, like, something that I missed in the last results?
Yeah. Yes, you see, Chris, at the end of the November show, after, let's see, they had Double Dare. So was it Hell on Earth, where all of these crazy things happened, and All Ego, he interrupted a match after Kevin Steen had made his debut. He had Ethan Page and Lewis Linden try to attack Kevin Steen. And so at the December show, Dead Presidents, Kevin Steen had basically gotten his revenge on Lewis Linden, but he promised that he was still going to get revenge on Ethan Page, because you see, he didn't forget about Ethan Page. He was just trying to win the Intense title first, which he didn't manage to do, but he did get his kicks in on Linden, so now he's after Page.
Well, there we go. And then, of course, the AIW tag titles will be on the line. The boys from Jollyville, Nasty Russ, and Team Money defend against the Wild and Woolly Hooligans, who are also making their debut in VWA this weekend. We'll talk about that later. Nixon is going to explode, Des. This storyline must continue. Ricky Shane Page takes on Eric Ryan, with the Duke serving as a special guest referee for the orders of Chest Flexor. The winner of this match will receive an AIW contract, meaning the loser will never be heard from again.
Until Nixon? They come back as the romantic touch.
Ooh. Yes, that's not very nice. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say to that. Both guys, I don't know. They're both AIW guys to me, so I don't know. I cannot say that either would be, I would want them to be off the roster, but, you know, who knows? Do you have a prediction on that, or is it just kind of up in the air?
No, they're both solidly AIW guys to me as well. So I think either way, it's gonna be weird.
Let's talk about CZW. Their 15th anniversary show is coming up in February, along with the WSU Mutiny. Already signed is Drew Gulak, the World Heavyweight Champion. He's going up against the phenomenal one, AJ Styles. CZW tag titles on the line: Beaver Boys versus Murderers Row, a four-way tag match of The Front versus Juicy Product versus Nation of Intoxication versus OI4K, and then a four-way singles match of Biff Busick versus Chris Dickinson, AR Fox, and Drake Younger. Someone's going to die in that match, Des. I have no doubt about it. And then Christina Von Erie up against Candice LeRae, and Jory Ryan returns to take on Greg Excellent, and hardcore legend Tommy Dreamer will also be in attendance. So I think that's, so far, shaping up to be a really great 15th anniversary card. I mean, it's kind of amazing to think that CZW is 15 years old. You know, there's obviously, they've had their detractors over the years, but hey, they're still around. A lot of other promotions are not. So, in the end, I don't know who was more successful.
There you go.
Of course, WSU, their Mutiny card taking place. Also, Jessica Havoc versus Alpha Female. That match is going to be awesome, and we are efforting to get Alpha Female on an interview for PWP. I know someone requested that on Twitter, and that's – I don't know. Des, I was actually going to ask you off there, but I'm just going to put you on the spot now. Would you be interested in hosting that? I mean, Alpha
Female – Let's do it.
She hasn't done a lot of interviews in the United States, correct?
Hey, I pride myself on pulling good interviews out of as many people as I can. That's what I do.
Yeah, and I believe she is making her debut in the States for WSU, so really great for them. And of course, Jessica Havoc, a fantastic opponent. And then, okay, it's the Queen of the Queen and King of the Ring qualifying match. Shauna and Chris Dickinson versus Candice LeRae and Jory Ryan. I don't keep up on much of the intergender stuff, but I would say Candice LeRae and Jory Ryan probably have the edge here. Just obvious, you know, they've been teaming for a little bit longer. So, but I don't know that. I could be wrong.
Makes sense.
And then the WSU tag title match, Midwest Militia, Allison Kane, Sassy Steffi, taking on the CUNTS, Kimberly and Annie Social, and of course the WSU Spirit title, Marty Bell versus Isabel Sueña, and a number one contender match, Lufisto versus Athena, plus Jenny Rose, Barbie Hayden, CVE, Santana Garrett, Hania, and Veda Scott, and more also on the cards. Check that out. Of course, check out our friends at WSU. All right, Dez, Ring of Honor time. Let's get into this. They're wrestling's finest card. We just updated it. There's a ton of news also coming out. We're going to be live tweeting from Pittsburgh. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, Dez, I know that we've been, I don't know, I want to say we've been down on Ring of Honor lately, but there haven't been a lot of cards that caught our eye. This one, though, I think has a lot of ramifications going out. Why don't you tell listeners what's going on there? No world title shot, but I think the three-way tag match has actually quite a bit of weight to it, given who the participants are.
Yeah, there's a lot of story here. Yeah, so the three-way tag elimination rules, it's Adam Cole and Matt Hardy against Chris Hero and Michael Elgin against Jay and Mark, the Briscoe brothers. That's a loaded storyline tag match. I haven't watched any ROH TV yet, but I'm guessing that they had a little bit more. But just going off of what happened at Final Battle, that looks like a great tag match that can get people involved. So a good main event, loaded main event too, if you look at everybody involved. Also, Tommaso Ciampa defending the TV title against Jay Lethal and Matt Taven. Two out of three falls match has the winner receiving ROH World Championship match at the February 8th show in San Antonio with Intrepid Traveler Paul London versus Roderick Strong. They're doing it again, Chris, and this time it's two out of three falls.
Yeah, I'm really hoping Paul London doesn't die. That's just my hope.
That would be ideal. Also, you have the top prospect tournament finals. We don't know who's going to be in the finals, so there's nothing there. And special challenge match, Kevin Steen versus Kyle O'Reilly in a tag team title match, the tag team of the decade, Jimmy Jacobs and BJ Whitmer, who's wrestling again, which I didn't expect, versus Adrenaline Rush of ACH and Tadarius Thomas. Poor guys are going to get killed by the decade.
I certainly hope so. I really hope that this time the faction is built up a little bit better. I mean, come on, during the Scum, I guess, feud, something that most of us don't want to remember, but Jimmy Jacobs wasn't getting a whole lot of wins in that one, so hopefully the decade does a little bit better. I'm looking forward to it. I've actually reviewed the January 11th episode of Ring of Honor TV. It was a pretty good episode. I enjoyed it, and I will be reviewing the 18th. Dez, I would say you should check it out. They have some pretty strong television going in. Maybe strong is too much of a word, but nothing bad. We'll see.
I will. I just like to binge watch, so I'm going to wait a little bit.
And of course, ROH News released actually just today on the 22nd. Tommaso Ciampa is going to be defending the TV title internationally on February 28th. He'll be defending in WXW in Germany against Two-Face, and on March 2nd versus Chris Travis in Southside Wrestling, Battle of the Egos 4. So check him out there. Really, really putting the world in that world TV title, and I think that's a good thing, Dez. You know, I mean, Ciampa, obviously, we've been behind him for a while. I would like to think that Ring of Honor wants to emphasize their wrestlers a little bit more, especially if they're carrying the secondary title. But I guess, you know, I guess we'll just, I can't compare them to the Ring of Honor of old, but it's something that I like seeing. And especially when they put it on their site and they tout it as something big, you know, because it's not like that's occurring in TNA or in WWE. So it really makes them stand out, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's very strategic and very, very nice. Very good presentation of news.
Nigel McGuinness has stated that if anybody can pin Adam Cole in the three-way elimination tag match this Saturday, that man will shoot up to the top of the list for a world title match. I thought that was actually pretty obvious, but yeah, that should
happen. Hey, nothing's obvious in pro wrestling, Chris. Come on now.
The Romantic Touch, who will also be in Pittsburgh this Saturday. And then in some big news, an update for their San Antonio February 8th show, the State of the Art Four Corner Survivor match in history ring will be Mr. Wrestling Kevin Steen, Jay Lethal, Tommaso Ciampa, the TV champion, and Unbreakable Michael Elgin. Jimmy Jacobs will face Cedric Alexander, and BJ Whitmer will face Raymond Rowe. So that's already turning into a stat card. And then the Forever Hooligans are returning to Ring of Honor for the Super Card of Honor in New Orleans. And then the Young Bucks return to Ring of Honor in Milwaukee and Chicago Ridge March 7th and 8th. And there is talks, quote-unquote, of giving them a Ring of Honor World title tag team shot sometime over that weekend.
Can we just have the Young Bucks wrestle Forever Hooligans like every show?
I know. It seems like a match that no one would get sick of. The only thing I can point to is that while the Forever Hooligans are great, that series of matches they were having with the Time Splitters and New Japan opened up every single show. And I mean, and sometimes you can just get too much of a good thing, Des. So
I think that became an instance of New Japan just trolling everybody. It had to have been. I mean, they did so much.
I think so. I mean, hey, obviously tons of talent there, and I'm glad they're coming to Ring of Honor. Should be a good time. And, of course, we will effort to have results from New Orleans. But as I said, we will be live streaming results from Pittsburgh. So follow us on Twitter at PW Ponderings. So, Des, let's get into some upcoming shows this weekend. Lots of fun stuff. We're going to be live tweeting a lot of the results, actually. AAW Chaos Theory on the 24th. That's this Friday. We will be tweeting results. The matches so far announced, the tag champs of Elgin and Page going up against Ricochet and UHA Nation, the Monster Express. Still not sure if they're still called Monster Express, but that's what I have down, so we're going to go with that. And then Kyle O'Reilly and Davey Richards going up against Lewis Linden and Marion Fontaine. I know he's one of your favorites, Des. I hope Richards and O'Reilly don't hurt his face too much, because that would be a shame. Of course, AAW Heavyweight Champion Shane Hollister is going to be there. Heritage Champion Matt Cage, Jimmy Jacobs, Eddie Kingston, Silas Young, ACH, Colt Cabana, Juntai Miller, Zero Gravity, Knight Wagner, Dan Lawrence, and Marcus Crane all announced for the show as well. Our friends over at CWF Mid-Atlantic have Night of Grudges on the 25th in Gibsonville, North Carolina. They sent us our entire card for the show. Of course, you can also check them out, CWF247.com, for that information. Des, they're having the first ever dog collar chain match on this show between Nick Richards and the Dynasty Store with Donnie Dollars. I think that's crazy to think, a dog collar match in 2014.
With a chain.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering why they had to emphasize the fact that it's a dog collar chain match, because it's like, what else would the dog collar match be? I guess you could do with rope, I guess.
Yeah, dog collar rope match doesn't sound as cool, though.
No, it really doesn't. So here is the full card. Of course, you can get tickets at the door, $10 each, when you bring a group of three or more. And, of course, that is the friends and family discount. So check that out. Kids ages 10 and under are $5 regardless of when the ticket is purchased. So, of course, they are a family-friendly product. Check them out. So it happens, as I said, Saturday night, January 25th, Gibsonville, North Carolina. Anything goes dog collar match. Nick Richards versus Donnie Dollars. Rick Converse versus Walter Eaton. Heavyweight contenders grudge match of Manny Garcia, who just recently lost to Eric Royal. So he's trying to build himself back up there, but he's going up against Corey Edsel. And just added Zane Dawson versus Adam Page. The winner receives a future PWI championship match. Of course, Adam Page, you know, obviously doing well in Ring of Honor, so check him out there in CWF. And a six-man tag team match of Smith Garrett, Charlie Weston, and Ray Kendrick against Eric Andrews, Evan Banks, and Jimmy Parker. And then the Mid-Atlantic television champion Chase Dakota will defend against another opponent drawn from his random lottery. And then Chet Sterling versus Lance Lude in an Ultra J showcase match. The Ultra J title is basically, I believe it's still held by Andrew Everett, and it is a PWI Pro title, not necessarily a CWF title. So you should be checking that out, though. It's kind of their, I want to say it's like their X division, basically. And then, of course, the new Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Champions Rage and The Machine will defend their titles against three teams in a gauntlet match, Michael McAllister and Mecha Mercenary. They've been tearing through CWF for a few months, so they'll be there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Check them out. Twitter.com/CWFMidAtlantic or, as I said, CWF247.com. Last show that I want to talk about, Des, VWA Resolution 7 takes place Sunday the 26th in Addison, Illinois. It is their big returning show, and I've reviewed all their shows in 2013. Check them out. They should be on site right now. Lots of good stuff coming out from them. Thomas Sinclair, the new VWA champion, he's defending against Josh Crane. Malachi Matthews is going to be confronting Jeff O'Shea. The return of Christian Rose, a guy who's pretty much been killing it in the Midwest. either for Dreamwave or IWA Mid-South, or I believe he's been in Evolution Pro Wrestling as well. I mean, this guy, he's just all over the place. And, of course, AAW, so check them out. VWA, of course, the circuit champion Robo Ginger Gary J will be there. The Proletariat Boar of Moldova and Brown Morning of Belarus will be there. That was not easy for me to say. The Hooligans of Devin and Mason Cutter make their debut. The League, of course, Reed by God or Barbecue Bentley versus, or not versus, but Bulletproof Trip Cassidy as well. Too Sweet, Bolt Braddy, Estonian Thunderfug, Jardine Grace, Kefka the Quiet, Derek St. Holmes Esquire, who I have to really say had a fun podcast with our friend Kevin Harvey over at the C Wrestling, of course, School of Everything Else. So check that out. The link will be in the information for this podcast. And, of course, Isaias Velasquez. So check them out. Lots of fun going on at VWA. I hope you all give them a chance at us in Illinois on Sunday. So, Dez, that gives it up. Of course, Ring of Honor has a show in Pittsburgh. And as I said, we'll be live tweeting from there. Any other shows going on this weekend, of course, email mailbag at pwpunters.com. Tell us what's going on. Send us your press releases, and we'll let it go. We'll tell everyone about them. Dez, I think that about covers the news, so why don't you let our listeners know what you have going on? I know that you recently had a talk with, I believe his name is Michael Elliott, for his Kickstarter project.
Yeah, we spoke to Michael Elliott on our wrestling show, People's Podcast, a couple days ago, talking about this awesome new project he's trying to put together on creating a Rock and Roll Express documentary. He's the guy that did the Jim Crockett Promotions documentary, which was just so good. I loved it. And if you're a wrestling historian or fan, or if you just want to learn a little bit more about the Rock and Roll Express, because you're not going to get a WWE-produced DVD on the Rock and Roll Express. I mean, I just can't see it happening. So if you want this DVD, listen to the podcast, get his side of the story, and find out why you should donate to the Kickstarter project. My website is thingsdezsays.net, so we have that podcast up there. We also have a couple other podcasts that we've been doing. Throwback Vibes going through 1998. We're doing February next month, because next month is February. And we've got some awesome stuff coming up on the website that I'm not going to reveal just yet. But the month of February is going to be really exciting if you're a fan of a certain type of movie. So just stay tuned. And at Des Delgadillo is my Twitter.
I'm still wondering what happened during ECW, WWF, and WCW in February of, what was it, 98?
98? You're just going to have to wait and find out.
I can't wait, Dez. I gotta know your thoughts on, well, I guess it was the NWA Black and White? No, they weren't NWA Black and White then, were they?
No, not at that point.
Okay. Well, then, see, all my time is completely off, so let's just cut off there. All right, so, of course, we thank you all for listening. If you are checking us out on iTunes or Stitcher, leave us a review for 5 stars. It would really help get our name out there, get a bunch of new listeners. I want to thank you all for, I guess, tons of new followers and likes on Facebook and Twitter. Really appreciate it, guys, all the words you've been spreading about us, all the good stuff, all of our results and reviews. Getting a lot of good stuff on the website, so we appreciate that. Keep it coming. And, of course, as always, check out pwponderings.com. That is the main website. Tons of DVD reviews. I believe Shimmer 50, I want to say 54 and 55. Not too sure, but possibly those recently reviewed by Jerome Cuson. I recently reviewed VWAA and Ring of Honor Television. And, of course, Dreamwave by our own Ryan Rozanski. So check that out. And, of course, Facebook.com/PWPonderings or Twitter.com/PWPonderings is the place to go on social media. For Dez Delgadillo, I am Chris GST. Have a great week, guys. And join us again next time for all of your indie news. There's only Gucci land. You dig in Gucci, man. There's only Gucci can. Drop a stack, pop your back with a rubber band. You dig in Gucci, Gucci. Let's do the Gucci, Gucci.